Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome. It is good to be back on the air. I have been down for a while, and I'm barely getting my voice back. Unfortunately, I had caught pneumonia, very, very bad, and but I'm back. And I apologize. We're supposed to start the show at 8 o'clock, and something happened in the switchboard that I caught at the last minute, and so it knocked us down to have the show at 8 o'clock, 8:30. I'm sorry, and so I'm contacting people right now to let them know that we were delayed. So anyway, how's everybody been doing? I miss everybody. It's been a lot of activity going on across the country, as well as in the city of Fresno. Just like to give some shout outs to some different people, all the freedom fighters across the country, all of the political prisoners that are still in prison, that stood and fought for us, you know, all nationalities. And you know, it's just, you know, this past Sunday I had an opportunity to preach at my church, and I spoke about Dr. King and the struggle that he went through. And you know, sometimes I just really don't know what to say when I read the information, the things that he had to endure. And it's sad. And, you know, to be a freedom fighter myself, I know what he went through. Bear with me. Someone is trying to reach me. This computer stuff is really technical. One little thing can just mess up the whole show, and that's pretty much what happened. We're supposed to have been going at 8 o'clock, and so I have to reprogram it to start at 8:30. So we're live right now. But again, it's Black History Month. See, it's the 24th. Yeah, 24th Black History Month. But I tell people that I'm Black 365 days out the year, 24 hours a day. You know, 60 minutes on the clock. I'm Black, African American, whatever terminology you want to use right now. I'm not fully 100% well, but I'm doing better than what I was. Sometimes I have little coughing spells here and there. But, you know, I'm told that everybody's been getting sick, so I've been really, you know, washing my hands and not trying to shake hands and things like that. But, you know, it's election year, we all know that this year is the presidential election, as well as Fresno, California. Is the mayor race here in Fresno. And our city is divided. just to speak truth. Even in our progressive community, we're divided for as candidates. We know that there's Chief Dyer, who's the former chief of Fresno for over 20 years, who has ran a very corrupt police department here in the city under his tenure. To me, there's been no accountability when it comes to Jerry Dyer. I believe in the black terminology, you know, when you're white, you're right. When you're black, go sit in the back. And so I've really been in his hip pocket for his, when I say hip pocket, not for money, but hip pocket being a pain in his pocket, holding him accountable for things that he should be doing and was not doing, and really doing a lot of manipulating in our community, using the bringing broken neighborhoods back. Bringing broken neighborhoods back to life. And I'm like, okay, well, who broke the neighborhood? I mean, when did the neighborhood ever come back to life? You know, so I think words are very powerful in the context of when we're talking in our community. We see that when it comes to community policing, even just Saturday, we were here in my home doing some recordings, and one of the brothers had told me, he says, well, you know, he said, every time I drive my BMW on the west side, he said, I always get pulled over. And I was like, oh, okay. He said, well, I always drive my truck. He said, because I don't want to be pulled over by the cops. And so he left, and he left his wallet. He came back. I gave him his wallet, and I'm telling you, it wasn't 15 minutes before he called me and said, Reverend Harris, the cops got me pulled over. And I stopped everything I was doing. I jumped up. I think I ran out the house with one shoe on and whatever, trying to get to where he was at, because I know the pattern of this police department here. I know the pattern of this police department here. Someone wrote a message. Okay, I'll get to that. I hurried up and went over there because, you know, I didn't want him to be another victim of police brutality. You know, he's big, you know, he's probably 280, you know, 6'5", 6'4". And so when it comes to black men like us, you know, people are, or cops are intimidated by our size. And so, and it's night, you know, and I always get this, oh, I felt threatened, and, you know, I thought he was reaching for a gun, and, you know, and I shot him. And so those are the stories that we keep hearing over and over and over. And as a leader, you know, not a self-appointed leader, but a leader who the community has appointed me to be the gatekeeper for them here in Fresno for over 37 years. I think that as I tell people that, you know, when trouble happens, you know, I'm like the 911. People call me because people believe in me. People trust me. People understand that, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you're okay, because your safety, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people say, oh, Harris, you just advocate for black people, you know. Oh, I advocate for everyone, you know, Latino, Hmong, you know, LGBT, and so, you know, African American, you know, and so right is right, wrong is wrong, and I just think that, you know, the Creator has given me the ability to be able to know how to organize, you know, here in the 21st century. You know, I've been under good leadership. I work with Jesse Jackson out of Chicago, Al Sharpton out of New York. I traveled the country, traveled the world, dealing with different cases all over the country. And so, you know, I've earned my stripes. No one has given me anything. I have sacrificed my family. I've sacrificed jobs, good paying jobs, to come back and work in this community. I mean, jobs that were paying me $25, $30 an hour. I stopped doing those jobs to come and work in this community. So, you know, when people, and I'm just giving this disclaimer out there because there's a lot of conversation in the community about my credentials, you know. Well, if you question my credentials, and you have a right to question them, and I think that you should go do your homework. I'm not going to do your homework for you because, you know, I just don't have time to do your homework. You know, you need to research, you need to read, and that's what I told a brother today. You know, I said, you know, when I send you information, you need to read it, you know. That's how you get to know who is, you know, Floyd Harris, you know. Some call me Reverend Harris, some call me Dr. Harris, some, whatever you want to call me, you know, do your own research. You know, don't judge a book by its cover. Read the book, see the content in it, you know, go do your research, Google my name, whatever you want to do. And so, you know, I've advocated in this community for over 30 years, and I have stood with our homeless community. Our special guest tonight is Brother Al Williams, as well as we have other callers on the line that's listening, and some going to speak. And, you know, I stood with this brother, you know, was in the city of Fresno, that I told at the time, Cynthia Sterling, Alan Autry was the mayor at that time, that you're violating the constitutional rights of poor people. And it just went over their head, and we're going to do what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And the crazy part, you know, is that they took an oath to uphold the Constitution of people. And then here it is in Fresno, we see people in political office is more concerned not about the constitutional rights of people and their human rights, but they're more concerned about developers and how they feel and this and that. And, you know, I was told that the city of Fresno have a fund just for lawsuits. Can you believe that? They have a fund just for lawsuits. I think Oliver Baines or someone told us that, and it's like, so they really don't care, you know, about our tax money that they're making bad decisions, and we're the ones have to pay for it while they term out of office and ride in the wild blue yonder. You know, we're stuck here. Our children are stuck here paying this bill because we have people in office. And that's why it's important, family, that we get involved. That's why it's important that we know the climate. You know, our hands is on the pulse of our community 24 hours a day. You know, we are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. You know, so again, you know, if you want to know who Floyd Harris is, Reverend Harris, Dr. Harris, Google my name. You know, do research. You know, go talk to people. There's people on Facebook right now, like Brother Al. You know, I mean, this is a good brother. You know, I will stand with him even today. He can call me. I will drop what I'm doing, and I will do that for anybody. You know. Excuse me. I would do that for anybody. So we had a situation that occurred, I believe, last Friday here in Fresno along the freeway, and I invited Brother Al on the show as well as everyone else. But I'm gonna just click everybody in right now just to say hello, check in. You know, if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. You know, I usually go going once, going twice, going three times. You don't say anything. You know, I just, you know that you're just listening. But out of respect, I want to acknowledge everyone, 8476. And then I'm going to go to 5172. And then I'm going to go to 3366. And, of course, we have Brother Al Williams, who is our special guest at 8972. So I'm going to go to 8476. 8476, welcome to Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you for tuning in to the show. We're going to jump into this real quick. I just wanted to honor your number there. We have 5172. We're just going to open up the lines. Hello, 5172. How are you this evening?
Good. Just want to listen tonight.
All right. 3366, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all for tuning in. So we're just going to jump right into the show here. I want to introduce my brother, Al Williams, if you don't mind. Brother Williams, Brother Al, is a man who I met during the teardowns of the homeless encampments here in Fresno. And he took on the city of Fresno with a lawsuit. I believe it was $2.3 million lawsuit that Brother Al, I believe it was Pam Kincaid, was also there. We were on the steps of Fresno City Hall. And I believe we had law firms that came out of Oakland and San Francisco, and Mike Rose, who, good friend of mine, documented everything at that point to get the lawyers to come in. And so, you know, I was the only pastor, only black, if I may say, civil rights leader who stood the longevity of this fight with the city. And when I say fight, I'm talking about, you know, we stood in front of tractors and bulldozers that could have squashed us, because we felt we had a moral obligation to stand with our brothers and sisters out there. And that's, again, that's another reason why, you know, I'm running for mayor right now, because, you know, I want to change this mindset. You know, all these orders came down from the mayor office to destroy the entire homeless community encampment, to violate their civil and human rights. That came from the mayor office, not the city council. And so the mayor office has a lot of power. Okay. Just want you to know that it has a lot of power. But that power can be used in the wrong context to hurt people. The mayor office should be used in the context of helping people, empowering people, being our brothers and sisters keepers, and making sure that we're living in a healthy community. But that wasn't the case here. People were really hurt, dismantled, right in the wintertime. And so I want Brother Al, if he could, to kind of take us down memory lane, and then we're going to talk about this situation here that happened here recently, and then I'm going to go on a little more of my platform when it comes into what we're going to try to do and plan for the educate more people. Brother Al, 8972, welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, sir. So tell our listening audience here about your experience here in Fresno when it comes to the homeless situation here in Fresno.
I guess mine actually started back in the early 90s. Early 90s, mid-90s. Early 90s wasn't so bad. You know, there was a lot of homeless people here then also, but the police wasn't so bad on us at that point in time. At that time, I actually lived in Marine Park. That was my front yard, backyard. I had my own private zoo. There were seven of us in the beginning. They called it the Fresno crew, or Parkside crew, actually. And most people didn't believe we were homeless. You know, we'd go, that's where we'd sleep at night. We'll cook up food. We did this. We did that. We got to know the party people that worked there very well, and, you know, became established and everything. We walk out, and everybody thought we had a home just like everybody else, but we're actually homeless. They used to call us the invisible homeless people at that time. And then about the mid-90s, things started to change. We got a couple of police that wanted to clean up Fresno, and the clean up Fresno meant eliminating homeless people. That happened to be one of the homeless people at the time. And back then, when they started doing that, I thought it was bad then, but in which it was, you know, they destroyed our property. They brought blue doors in, took wheelchairs, they took our clothing, they took your food, they took everything you own, crushed it up. They let you watch them crush it also. You get to witness that yourself. And there's little you can do about it. You know, you got 15, 20 police standing out there with guns and a bunch of city workers destroying your stuff with bulldozers. It's, you know, it's sad to see. You know, they destroy medication, they destroy wheelchairs, everything, you know, everything. You know, they don't care. And so you end up with nothing. Start all over again. And you don't have to be a bad person. That's just the way it is, you know. They have to destroy homeless people's stuff because some people like being haters. That's what we call them. If you're on, outside, on a homeless person's side, you call them haters. They got to hate on somebody, and the easy one to hate on is a homeless person because they figure they don't have a money to get a lawyer. They can do what they want to do to you, walk on you. They are the police. So who are you going to call? Fortunately, we had Mike Rhodes at the time that intervened, and we ended up going and taking the city of Fresno to federal court back in 2007. When we were successful and came up with $2.35 million on that. Now, at that time, it was the largest lawsuit of its kind in the nation. And, you know, we set a precedent, which was good. You know, it was a start. But after a while, I guess they decided they had to retaliate. And they made it illegal for a homeless person to recycle. They made it illegal for a homeless person to be homeless. You know, if you're homeless, you're illegal, you're a criminal. And they did it. They've done everything they could to make the public realize that you're a criminal, undesirable, you're not wanted. And, you know, what really bothered me about that was, you know, I'm a veteran, Vietnam veteran. And even today, there's approximately 200 Vietnam veterans who are homeless. Not just Vietnam veterans, but veterans, period. And in America, the richest country on the planet, there's no way in hell that any veteran should be homeless, ever. And to be, you know, humiliated, treated the way the police department treats them is unacceptable. There should be things done about it, and we're trying to do things about it. We need people to open their eyes and see the truth. You know, most of society takes our elected officials' word that everything is okay, and it's not. Everything is not okay. Believe that. It is not okay. I've been in the back of police cars with no back seats, handcuffed, driven from Pinedale to Fresno County Jail to write me a citation so they could see I abandoned my property. So they can steal it. And actually, that's what they do. They steal people's stuff. All strong-arm robbery. Some people don't know the definition of strong-arm robbery, but you walk up and hold a gun on somebody and take your stuff, they call that strong-arm robbery. Police do the same thing. But they can legally do it. They think they can legally do it. More and more cases are going to court now. And you really want to say something. The police don't pay for this. Taxpayers do. It's your money they're growing. The taxpayers' money. They take your money, they do their crime, and they make the taxpayer pay for it. And most people don't realize that. The taxes you pay, it comes out of that they lose. And they get, I think they should be held accountable and made pay for it. Don't charge the taxpayer, charge them. And that will go down quickly. You know, they don't have to think nothing. They do what they want to do. They got a free reign. Things have changed a lot. For the better. Myself, I'm not homeless anymore. I haven't been almost 2 years now. I've been stable in my place. I haven't missed a payment. You know, so I'm reliable. They say homeless people are not. They spend all their money on drugs, but I guess I got too much money, which I don't. But I can't afford to buy drugs.
Well, you know, Well, you know, Al, what one of the things that we found, well, I found out that the term homeless doesn't mean that it's always someone living under a bridge. You know, a person could be homeless living in their car. A person could be homeless living with someone sleeping on their couch. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're drug addicts or dope addicts. It's just people are hitting hard times right now. But we have a city with the ideology and mentality from the mayor office down, if I may say, that want to criminalize people who are human beings and just having a hard time. And the city is making so much money off of arresting people, because I think it's $200 or $300 to book someone in a county jail, and then they let them right out, and then they arrest them again. And so it's a money source type thing that's going on here. And so
exactly.
I think that,
exactly.
me running for mayor, right? First of all, number one, you have to treat people with dignity and respect. Okay, no matter what they look like, what they have on, if they drive in a car, if they push in a shopping basket, you have to treat people with dignity and respect. I think if you don't have that mentality right there, I think you'll end up just like the mindsets of the leadership of Alan Autry, who was the godfather and the gangster, right, if I may say, who started tearing down encampments in the first place. And then he grandfathered Swearington to come in, and she kept his legacy going on by tearing down encampments, but not at the same time finding resources and opportunities for people who are less fortunate in a community. Now, when our dogs, and I love animals, okay, but when I see that our dogs at the SPCA is living better than those family humans that is out here in our community, there's something wrong with our city. And so, you know, again, it comes with a mentality to understand, what is your priorities right now? What is the priority of our city right now? It's to make sure people is safe, okay? And that's one of the things with our platform that we're running for mayor, because Mike Rose said it all the time. He said, you know, we should have legalized encampments, okay? Well, if it's a legalized encampment, that means that people are safe, right? People are centrally located. We can then bring services to them, because why? We know where they're at. We can be able to get to them in time enough. But this system that we have here in Fresno, just like they tore down the encampment Friday, right? And this homeless brother gets beat in the head by the Fresno Police Department. It's like, look, the Harris campaign, mayor campaign, is not going to go and tear down encampments. We're going to go and clean the encampment, right, and treat people with dignity and respect, right, and not tear it down, but at the same time, bring resources in there to help those, do an assessment of those who are there and find out what they need. I mean, do that make sense, Brother Al?
It makes a lot of sense. And may I say one more thing here? Fresno has turned homelessness into a money-making profit business. You know, there's plenty of money here for homeless people to be off the streets. But they put them in salaries, expense accounts. You know, like the CEO of the Rescue Mission, $135,000, $150,000 a year, plus a car, plus expense accounts. You can look this up, Google it, as Reverend Harris said. If you want to find out something, Google it. Google a 990 for the Rescue Mission. It tells you how much he makes. He can't hide that. It's public information. I tell people to do this all the time. Google it, and it'll tell you how much he makes. Why is a man running a nonprofit organization getting $150,000 a year to do nothing? And a new car, and a special account. You know, that's where all the money going. It ain't the homeless people. You know, but nobody looks at that. Then you got that meth thing they got. They don't really do nothing but suck a whole bunch of money up. Put money, you know, it's a paycheck. which people need jobs, but that ain't the way to get a job. Go chop some cotton. No, I had to once upon a time. You know, they can do the same thing. You know, it ain't gonna hurt them now. They'll probably do them some good.
So, Brother Al, October 17, 2006, on the steps of City Hall, you were there. Pam Kincaid was there. Other folks was there. I was there. We all stood together in solidarity, hand in hand, and we filed the lawsuit against the city of Fresno for $2.3 million for violating the civil and human rights of our homeless community. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
Did you feel any hope? Did you feel like someone cared that day?
I felt like somebody cared, but the people who cared were the people who were standing there. And I'm sure there's some people out there who do care, but they've been blindfolded by the elected officials and they don't see clearly. You know, I give people a roadmap. Open your eyes. Go check it out. Come out here and see for yourself. And for some reason, people don't want to do that. They're afraid of the truth. You know.
So one of the things, Brother Al, we talked about in our campaign was not tearing down encampments, but cleaning the encampment and bringing resources to the encampment and doing assessment on those who's there that we can empower to get up off, you know, to make sure they can be successful. You know, Dyer wants to create a concentration camp, right on G Street, and just build a facility and just tell everybody, you know, hey, go down there. And it's like, we need facilities all over the city, right? And so we were talking about having a transportation system where if we had legalized encampments or facilities we built, that we can be able to transport people to different locations throughout the city of Fresno. If it's the welfare department, it's the Social Security office, or wherever that is. So again, we're giving a hand up to empower people so that they can get themselves to be successful. I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Do you have something else you want to say, Al, before I open it up?
One quick thing here. In 2008, I presented the city of Fresno through Cynthia Sterling, who was a council member or councilwoman at that time, a plan that would get, you know, most of the people off the streets. I said 40% of people can go to work right now. You know, they're not stupid. You know, they're educated. They know how to work. And they can work if given the opportunity. There's 40% need some training. That's 80%. There's 20% need help. They do have people out there with mental issues. They need help. They open up an office at the Poverello House. And they said, well, nobody walks in asking for help. What person with a mental issue will walk into a doctor's office and say, hey, I'm kind of cuckoo. I need you to help. You know, they won't get off their butt and go out there and find the people. They're waiting for people to walk into the office. That's why you see so many out there. And that's exactly what they were doing, getting a big check to sit there on their butt doing nothing, waiting on a person with a mental issue to walk in and say, I got a problem. You know, we sit there, we witness that personally, you know, and that ain't the way you do it.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick, and then we're going to open up the lines. A situation happened last Friday here in West Fresno. I believe Brother Rose wrote this piece here. It says a disturbing report has emerged this morning about Fresno Police Department homeless task force officers assaulting a homeless man who they were attempting to evict from an encampment. The homeless man was assaulted on that day after a friend of police homeless task force arrived about 10 a.m. And informed all individuals that they had 25 minutes to move will be arrested at this encampment. Again, this is right here in West Fresno, right here where I am. Matter of fact, it reads that some of the people living at the homeless encampment, there were bulldozers parked not too far away. The sergeant in charge told them that it was right around the corner. They had personal property there. Our homeless people, they keep everything with them. You know, they don't have lockers and to put things in. And so, make the long story short, this sergeant assaulted, the police officer assaulted this homeless brother. And if you look on our screen, I believe I put some pictures up there so that you can see the gash that is in his head. Again, you know, our campaign, the Harris campaign, we're going to dismantle, get rid of this homeless task force because it's not helping people. It's hurting people. And as taxpayers, we're paying for that. They put this, our brother, into the hospital, said he was resisting arrest and things like that. And so, again, that's on our platform. We're going to dismantle this homeless task force. As you said earlier, Brother Al, you have had encounters with this task force. They're very mean people, very mean officers. And I just don't feel that this is the right line of work for them to be dealing with such vulnerable people out there, and they're throwing their weight around. We're going to go ahead and open it up to everyone. Anyone can jump in. 3366-5172-8476. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Maybe they want me to keep talking. Okay, I'll keep talking. They don't want to talk. Okay, all right. 3366-5172. Okay, we found somebody's alive on the line. 3366, welcome to the show.
Hi. First, I wanted to just say, you know, thank you, Brother Al, for, you know, coming on the show and sharing your experience, sharing that history. A lot of people don't get enough of a background to thoroughly understand the severity of something, you know. And they like to, what as Reverend Harris said, judge a book by its cover and not do the homework and not do the research to find the truth. So that's what I wanted to say first. Just thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And I want to just expand a little bit on that definition of homeless, because just like everything else, you know, the media creates the narrative and pushes it, and people just go by what they see in the flash as opposed to seeing the full picture or the real picture. And, you know, like Reverend Harris mentioned, it could be sleeping on the couch, it could be sleeping in the car. But they don't want to expand it to that because they want to keep this narrative that, okay, they won't work. All they out here for is because they didn't do something right, or they got on drugs, or, you know. And if they expand it and really went by that true definition of homelessness, you know, then that narrative is destroyed, because it's a big population that are able-bodied, that will work, like Al said, like, we'll work, we have the capabilities, you know, just need the tool, you know, sometimes to get started, a restart. And it's just a shame that we have powers to be that won't do like what Reverend Harris said and treat people with decency and treat them with respect, you know. Show some compassion, you know. And but not only that, just like taking the actions, like what you talked about with the platform, with spacing these out and being strategic about it, you know. Not only spacing them out, but you need certain services. We're going to put you in contact with that. Now we're establishing a relationship with those that are homeless in these low barrier and legal spaces for homeless. And let's create our homeless park. It doesn't even have to, you know, it can have a garden. I've seen, honestly, I've seen some really extensive encampment. You know, they have a pen for a garden if somebody, like, lets them use a piece of their land. They have a tent for different uses, you know, sleeping, storing food, the water, a pen for the animals. They take really good care of the animals. So, I mean, I just like that, you know, why don't we establish that relationship and go in and have some other things set up? I know reading your platform, Reverend Harris, that, you know, not only do we want to be able to bring those services and create a decent space, a safe space, but we also want that to extend after those relationships can be established to say, okay, well, let's put you back in. Let's put you back into land ownership, home ownership, you know, and we're going to have a connections and a line of people that can walk you through that process, you know, just depending on what that individual, if they're ready to take or when they're ready to take those steps. So it starts with decency and respect, and that's so overlooked, you know, just honoring the human being code first and creating the solutions. And so Poverello don't have to feel so obliged to have to take on the whole Fresno homeless problem. I'm being sarcastic. I'm not being for reals on this. So I think those are some solid platforms, a solid platform for that. And then just this issue legally, like with this latest issue, man, that is like so many violations. Like, when are we going to get a team of people together, some attorneys together that's willing to go in on cases like this, you know? What is it going to take? Like, you know, you get to just treat people the way you want to treat them, you know, slam them on the ground, put gases in their head. You know, they're trying to call for help, somebody to help mediate this situation. And the officer, more than likely, was just agitated, you know, and decided to, okay, no, you do what I say. Put them in the hospital, then bring charges against them. Come on now, we got a mayoral candidate. One was a retired police officer, so we know that all he's gonna do is just make the problem worse and create a bigger force. And then we have the prosecutor. Like, come on now, you seeing this? Like, it's making the news. You know, and so we're going to continue to let officers do this, you know, violate, assault, and then falsely charge somebody. This man was, like, falsely charged. And they're trying to make some stuff like that stick. That's the solution. That's what our system here is willing to put up with and let happen to individuals. And we know it's not just the homeless. You know, it's people of color, men, women, poor, white. You know, it's across the board, and it's against those that have the least and suppress the most. And no other campaign is trying to get to the heart of people along with solutions. It's I can sound like this, I can sound good, I can sound like I have all the answers. I can practice sounding sincere, and I know big people with big money, but that's not going to change Fresno and cause that turnover we need. So
right.
People being treated right, and people can survive and want to be here.
That's,
you know,
right.
You know, one of the things that you know, dealing with our campaign, you know, we've been very strategic and intentional on putting our information out there and how quick we do, because you know, the other candidates, especially this Jan and Dyer, has been, I'll use the word, stealing, if that's the correct term, of our platform and integrating it with their platform. And at the same time, while they're doing that, they have been able, the Fresno Bee, the TV stations, the different media outlets, is it GBY? I don't know. I think it's GBY. They have willfully, honestly, intentionally do not want me on the same stage with Dyer and Andrew Janz, because they know that the questioning that will come from me, because so you're not dealing with someone who just the sky just opened up like Andrew Janz and he just fell out of it and he's the savior of Fresno. You're dealing with someone who's been dealing with this for the past over 20 something years, advocating for over 30 years. So I'm not green behind the ears. And so I'm glad that people want to get involved to be a servant in our community. But the problem is when you pretend that you know and you don't know and you haven't paid your dues. And that's the question that I ask people. I said, we know who Jerry Dyer is. We know who he is, right? I said, but who is Andrew Janz? I said, who is he? I said, where did he come from? Who sent him over here? I said, where was he when the city was tearing down the encampments here in Fresno? I said, where was he when the bulldozers were grabbing and putting all their personal items in back of the dump trucks? I said, where was he? I said, so all of a sudden now that Andrew Janz is the person who that I'm hearing from our community that has the answer to solving the homeless situation, but never been a part of it since I've been in it over 20 years. So it's just interesting to me how people forget, you know, who's been there with them and for them and advocating next to them and there to get arrested if need be. And so I think that we, as a community, we really need to take a step back and really look at what, you know, people, and everybody has the right to vote for whoever they want to vote for. Trust me, I believe in that. But when you start trying to measure people up, to me, do your homework. That's all I ask you. Do your homework and understand that I'm not new to it. I'm true to it. Is there anyone else that would have something to say? Because I wanted to talk about, you know, we talk about this homeless situation that's going on in Fresno, but, and I spoke to my campaign manager about this and we agreed on it that, you know, people need some legal help. Okay. I mean, when you're dealing with landlords who have 5, 10, 15, 20 houses, I'm sure they have an attorney, right? And these landlords are putting people out just for the smallest things, right? So it's important.
I have
that
a question, Reverend Harris.
Yes, go ahead. Jump in anytime.
Well, everything that you said and everything that the other two, your guests, Mr. Al said and the other caller said, all make real good sense to me. And I'm really hoping that Fresno voters are going to be asking these questions like, where was Jerry come lately when he was the police chief to help Big Sue and the rest of the people out there? Where was Andrew Janz as a prosecutor not prosecuting the officers who were committing the crime of destroying property? And more importantly, what happened to the money? How was it spent for this First Steps Home with the city of Fresno that they got all these thousands of dollars to hire staff and put and take people off the street and into homes? Where is that program? Nobody ever talks about it anymore. These are important questions that need to be asked and answered. Where did that money go?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. And one more thing I'd like to suggest. You know, Reverend Harris, you mentioned that you didn't know a couple of incidents that happened in the past, one regarding myself. Also, a young lady was tased in the face and in the neck, you know, for being homeless, you know, not too long ago. And she would like to say a word, if you don't mind.
Hello?
Can you repeat that again?
I got somebody here with a little testimony, I guess you'll call it, or something that happened about a year and a half ago with the homeless task force. Go.
Hello?
What?
Hello?
Yeah. My name is Sarah. I'm a resident of Fresno County. I'm a victim of second death from the Fresno County Task Force Department for the Homeless. They beat me down with their fists to my face, my head, my back. Got three of my ribs, chased me in the face and neck, and called me a stupid bitch, and told me that I'm a no good for nothing homeless brat who got no class, no morals, no rights as a human citizen, as well as a female which was homeless. Thank the Lord above for giving me a roof over my head now, that I'm very grateful and very pleased and very happy. But I did not have any support or any coordinates to guiding me in getting out of the situation. This officer Nathan, Christopher Aaron Nathan, officer, what's that one, the sergeant's name? The one that basically had Al put in the back of the car to get our property taken from us. He also was part of the situation and requested and in order to have Officer Nate and a couple other officers, Officer Johnson and Officer the fact of it is, had me beat down in the parking lot of Walmart in Ingram and Herndon in Pinedale. My husband at present time didn't know anything about it. They now banned me from going in the parking lot. They told me that if I were to come back again, they were going to beat me down again. So I didn't realize that the fact that they were around, they jumped out of their vehicles, approached me, demanding me to get on the ground, and I told them, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. I have no problems with the law. I don't have warrants. I have no problems with you. Please leave me alone. Take your hands off me. They would not stop. They kept pulling my arms and running it up my back to where the back of my hand would touch the back of my head, and then literally would take their knees and knee me and jab me in the back of the legs to where they got me on my knees and just started punching me in the head, slamming my face to the ground, then turned around and shoved me up against the wall, told me to sit down, and I said no, so they pulled out the taser and they started tasing me in the face and the head and the back and kicking me in my rib cage, cracked three of my ribs, bruised the other side, and messed up my vertebrae and my spinal cord, which I've already got injuries from 8 years ago, car accident, which reopened the injuries.
now sufficiently. Now I suffer more damage to my back now, and I'm in more higher, greater pain now than I was before, which was, and I got a hospital record of it. I've also had records on paper as well as documentation from the doctor of my back being damaged, and also my ribs. They got documented for three bones in my ribs have been literally shattered. And I have spinal deterioration. I have scoliosis of the spine. I can hardly sleep on one side. I have to turn and turn back to the other side and then lay flat on my back. I can hardly lay down even for like a couple minutes. Then I have to relocate myself back to another position just to get comfortable at night when I'm sleeping. And I cry at night because it hurts so bad.
Well, sis, let me ask you a question. Did you have any legal representation? Did you sue? What happened on that end?
I was not in prison at the time. During the incident and the situation, Officer Garrison and Officer Nathan did not care the factor of it is. But also, there was a officer, Gutierrez, a female lady that was dispatched at the time, during the time, and Cynthia Gutierrez didn't care about anything about what goes on with people and being homeless. Fellow employees that work for Fresno County Police Department and the Sheriff's Department, as well as the homeless property removal and disposal task force division, have got this officer out there that's basically harassing me all the time. He grabbed me by my hair one day and threatened to beat the hell out of me, that if I were to say anything to anybody about any of us, that once they've been notified or they've heard from other people, which, and generally there are, I'm sure there are a couple few, not saying for sure, but people who like to go back and tattle to law enforcement, which are called informant snitches, which generally are wrong, because if they knew the situation that others that have gone through, like myself, they would not want to say anything because it would harm and cause great danger to the other person.
Right.
And if they
not
care about themselves, then they wouldn't care of the factor of what the perspective would it be of the outcome of the other person if their life is in particular, if they're in danger or not. Because Fresno Police Department don't care about nobody.
Right. Let me ask this question to anyone that may want to jump in on it. So we know Fresno is kind of like a four-corner box city. Do our religious institutions have any responsibility to get involved in this homeless situation? Because I hear a lot of churches say, well, you know, we tie to the Poverello House. We give them, you know, whatever, $500 and that's all we're going to do. Is that good enough, or should the religious institutions be more engaged in this homeless crisis that we're dealing with in Fresno? Anybody?
Reverend
Harris. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Was that 8476?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was. Did I cut anybody off?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. Well, I mean, I think this is kind of related to one of the questions I was going to ask regarding you made the comment about how the mayor's office is pretty powerful, and kind of one of the questions I this kind of alludes to one of the questions I wanted to ask a little earlier about I mean, obviously the homelessness problem. Homelessness, you know, crisis, we'll say, as well as, I mean, a lot of other issues, right? I mean, you know, drugs, gangs. I mean, these are all super, you know, very. There's no simple answers, and they're going to take a lot of people's investment in time, energy, and commitment. I for one think that the religious institutions, absolutely. Especially if you. For Christian churches, right? I mean, that's like one of the responsibilities, right? Is to serve people who are struggling. But in that vein, I mean, how can the mayor's office work with other? I mean, how would you envision the mayor's office working with religious institutions and any other people who are you know, who can help? Because, like I said, if anybody thinks the mayor themselves can make changes like that, I mean, I really hope nobody thinks that any just one person or one administration is going to make this dramatic change, you know. Yeah. But I definitely believe that it's going to take a vision and a coalition, and so I would. I would like to hear on maybe some ideas of how you would like to see the churches and mosques and other institutions, you know. I mean, can there be like is it going to take a city a bureau or some type of organization, some kind of government organization or a coalition? Because I don't know, you know. I mean, this is not a new problem in Fresno. You know, I don't expect it to go away anytime soon, but we do need we need vision, we need courage, you know, and we need, you know, people who, we need commitment, you know, we need commitment for people to really, to address it as something that, you know, it's the responsibility of this whole city, not just south of Shaw, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I can tell you from my experience, you know, when we first started dealing with this situation when Alan Autry, former mayor Alan Autry, was the mayor here for 2 terms, 8 years. You know, Big Sue was alive. She was on his, I think it was called transitional team or something. He died right out in front of on G Street on the sidewalk. And she was trying to be part of the solution, and she still lost her life. I agree, it's not going to be just one person, but the problem is in Fresno is that Fresno is segregated, and a lot of people don't want to accept that. But it's segregated. I mean, we know the North of Shaw type thing, conversation, but it's segregated almost in classes because, you know, the Fresno County Board of Supervisors, right, is the agency that has the mental health component in it to help those that are in need from a health perspective, right? But even when we were trying to negotiate with the Board of Supervisors, you were talking to a tree, you know. Because it's like their whole philosophy is public safety, public safety, public safety. You know, they cut mental health. I remember the county board of supervisors cut mental health and gave the money to the sheriff. And I was sitting there, how can you do that when we have a crisis right here out in the community? Well, their mindset is, well, if they need help, we'll arrest them and put them in jail. So as Al said, it's a money recycling type situation that's going on here in Fresno. But I will say, from my perspective, it's all hands on deck. We all are part of the solution. We all should be welcome to come to the table. The problem in Fresno is that the mayor office has always dictated who comes to the table. I wasn't welcome to come to the table a lot of times with Swearington or Alan Autry, right? Because I wasn't the little good little black person, you know, I was the little person that always caused trouble. But so it's like, I'm trying, you know, how do we pull people together that may be a Republican or a Democrat? And it's like, that doesn't matter right now. What matters is that we have a crisis and that we all need to come to the table. So my philosophy is that we all have to come to the table, and including our youth. Our youth has been marginalized in this community to make them feel like that they don't even have are not welcome to come to the table. And I think that we have brilliant minds in Fresno. It's just that we have to be receptive to other people that, you know, we all don't think alike. And so it's an uphill climb, and it's not, and I've been telling people that myself. It's like the mayor office, just, I mean, you have to work with other agencies and government agencies to bring those folks to the table as well as the community. So I think bringing leaders, grassroots activists, the youth from different organizations, and just come in and say, hey, you know, this is where we at. We need to come up with a plan. I said we. I didn't say I, the mayor. I said we need to come up with a plan, like right now, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, and figure out how we're going to deal with the situation. The homeless piece is just one issue. I mean, we got police issues going on. We got environmental racism issues going on that I, you know, deal with on a daily basis. So it's not going to be an easy task, but we're willing to take it on. It's all hands on deck. And I don't mind calling people. I don't mind calling people out to say, hey, you know, you have a moral responsibility. You know, I don't care if your church is up in River Park. You have a responsibility. This is our city. We should love everybody south of Shaw just as we love everybody north of Shaw. That's not happening right now.
No, it is not.
I have one question for the caller that had just come on. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
The lady caller, what would have made you feel safe making a report or going legally after these officers and documenting the way that they have abused you and assaulted you?
Wasn't that generally being that much and the legislation being easy of the matter of it, that because of the fact that I was not given the actual and additional of benefit of right to and to come forward and address this matter because of being doing the hush hush, don't say anything, or this is going to happen, or if you say anything, this is going to happen. I felt my life being in danger. I felt my life not really safe. I felt like a threat was to my life, and I felt like my life was in their hands, and they made it as if like they could do whatever they want to me. And I could just sit there and just shut my mouth and be a good little girl and be stupid for them and let them go ahead and virtually, physically put hands on deck on me and not say anything but be scared and stay scared like a little coward that they think I am, which I'm not. I'm not weak. I do have a mind in my head. I do have a brain in my head on these two shoulders that God has given me. And believe me, I'm not afraid to use it.
I'm not afraid to speak my mind and forth and stand for of my rights as a American woman of this country, as well as to civil rights of all based on statistics, as well as to my bodily being and putting into drastic of harm and dangerous way under hands of being, so to speak. You know, the Lord has not put us on this earth to abuse one another, but it is not fair for them to be able to go ahead and do what they want, because what ends up happening is, who is the next time I'm not going to be so lucky if I were to be spotted in or known in Breeze Way of Invisible in Pinedale again, and these officers were to what ends up happening to see me, I probably wind up getting probably literally beat the shit out of, and they'll probably wind up wanting to kill me. And I'm afraid. I'm fearful for my life. I fear for my safety, my well-being. But at the same time, I don't want these people to walk as officers at Fresno County and be able to go ahead and do it to the next person like me, because I have mental deficiency. I have mental handicap. I have brain damage from a child past abuse that I was rendered when I was little, when I was molested as a kid. I do have brain damage from it. And I'll be darned, as God is my witness, I speak forth even with my hand on the left hand on the Bible and swear as in the eyes of the Lord, He knows I'm innocent. He knows I've been innocent, but yet I'm being criminated and criminalized and being abused as a woman of this country and being at one time homeless. I don't deserve to be beat on. You know, and my two boys, my two children, I have a 25-year-old and a 24-year-old, one's incarceration, which was at one time, which is in Susanville, now he's in Susanville, County State, City of Corrections Facility, State Prison. They beat him in there. They stabbed him with knives 7 times. They beat him down off the top of his bunk. They pulled his hair. They yanked him around. And the prison guards allowed them to stab him and make stinks out of razor blades and cut my son up. And it hurts me, and then the police use that against me, and they use that in my brother, throw it in my face after they do all these things to my kid. They throw it in my face and they say, ha ha ha, that could be you. And making me have more fear. And I'm afraid to walk the street.
So it's fair to say that the Fresno Police Department, under the leadership of Jerry Dyer, which I find very interesting that he carried out the orders from the mayor's office as chief to arrest anybody, the advocates, the activists, or those are homeless. We form human chains out there in front of dozers, tractors, and earth movers. Holding the front line, you know, as a community, letting them know, hey, you know, you may look at them as homeless, but we look at them as our family. And so we've had standoffs with the city of Fresno, the city manager, Bruce Rudd at the time. And so, you know, we know that the abuse goes out there day in and day out. And our women, especially, they are subject to rape. They're subject to being abused out there. We have children who are out there. I mean, just look. We have all these vacant buildings here in Fresno. You know, the old UMC building sitting over there on Cedar and Kings Canyon over there, just sitting there empty. You know, that's what I said earlier about how the city of Fresno and the board of supervisors who governs that building should be able to come in along with the community, along with Congress office as well as assembly come together with activists and the youth, and we should be able to come up with a plan, okay, a plan, a real plan, a immediate plan, short, long-term plan to get to end homelessness here in Fresno. But because of political reasons, because of you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican or I'm an independent or whatever the case may be, or you may not be nothing politically by name, that we just can't come together and figure it out. I mean, it's the most hardest thing for me to gasp in my little mind that why can't we not come together as a people?
Because they don't want it to. And one thing people forget, Reverend Harris, the mayor don't run Fresno. The people who run Fresno are the developers, the money people.
That's
they control Fresno. I beg your pardon?
That's true, brother.
Yeah. The developers are the ones who run. And Tom Richards, Swearingen hooked up with him and put in chair of this board, chair of that board. Where'd he come from? Out of no place. But he's probably the richest man in Fresno. He got something to do with the high speed rail. He got, whatever happens in Fresno, Tom Richards got his hand in it. Or he got his voice in it. The public don't know this. I know it. I said there were a couple of boards he was on. I know him personally. I've been in his office. Yes. Most people don't even know about him. They don't even know who the hell he is. He runs Fresno. He's one of the ones that runs Fresno, the developers. That's in every city. The developers run the city. They tell the mayor what to do. And the mayor tells everybody else what to do.
And that's why we have to have a mayor who is independent, who is not getting their palms greased and a back pocket grease, but a mayor that can stand independently and look a developer in his eye or her eyes and say, if your development is not for the betterment of the people of my city and you want to be self-serving, no, just no. I mean,
besides you, who else would do that? I know you would.
They're telling me that Andrew Jans can do that. But then I'm finding out that Andrew Jans received money from this Granville developer or whoever his name is, Granville Homes or something. So,
Darius or Simi.
Go ahead, brother.
If people do a little research, research Tom Richards. He is somebody you never hear of, you never talked about, but he is a powerful, powerful man. From the high speed rail on down to everything in Fresno. And Swearingen, another one, heard that church they got there, the River Church that nobody knows about, but Google it too. And look how much money they get out there. Her husband is the major pastor of it. Ashley Swearingen, her husband, runs the River Church.
Arlene Reed, who was our former West Fresno Democratic Club president, she always talking about voting. We got to register to vote. We got to get involved. For some reason, North of Shaw always outvote South of Shaw, and we have more people South of Shaw than we do North of Shaw. I mean,
true.
How do we change that narrative to where people can see what's going on?
Reverend Harris, I think that it's a two-pronged approach, maybe even three, because you have to register people, get them to the polls. That's one thing. Get them voting for the right person. Then you got voter suppression. and all these built-ins that try to dissuade people from voting. You got people coming out of jail or prison who don't know whether or not they have the right to vote. You have misinformation being given to these people. I know that you know for a fact how difficult it is to get straight information from the Fresno Registrar's office. So, and then you have people south of Shaw who just think it doesn't make any difference. I'm too busy trying to survive to worry about what happens in civics and neighborhood and at City Hall. I just want to work, mind my own business, send my kids to school, and cash my paycheck. The problem is too many of us been doing that. Now we got Trump in the White House, and they're trying to get Jerry Dyer or Andrew Janz in City Hall. We are living in the time of these tyrants, these strong men who want to run everything. If the people don't rise up, we are going to have a problem. Even Malcolm X, in his message, Ballot or Bullet, said either we're going to change things with the ballot or it's going to come down to the bullet. And see, this is something that white folks do not want. They do not want black and brown and Asian people to get guns and start an uprising. But that is what's going to happen unless we turn things around. So if we want to do it the peaceful way, the progressive way, the Martin Luther King way, the Poor People's Campaign way, we got to get people to register to vote and get them to the polls. And now with the Voters' Choice Act, those centers, the center in Southwest Fresno, is already open. It'll be open for 11 days. And so people have no excuse. They can mail their ballot in. They can walk it in. They can drop box it in. And they so we have incentives to vote. Last election, we had 70,000 Democrats who could have voted and didn't.
Has anybody been out trying to get people to register to vote? I haven't seen anybody on the website. I'm not saying there isn't anybody. But
I haven't done it this year, but last summer, West Fresno Democratic Club was out there. We were out there on two different corners on the west side registering people to vote, and different groups have been registering people to vote. Some people who are canvassing for certain elected officials, like for the Fresno County Democratic Central Committee, they have been registering people to vote at their doors. But I don't know if their canvassers have hit Southwest Fresno yet. They still have one more weekend to go.
So, I know in River Park, it's out there every day, heavy. Heavy.
Well, if you registered at River Park, it would be just as well. It doesn't matter what part of the city that you do it. And, you know, we're all adults. But we have to try to get people to the polls. We have to outwork them. We don't have the money to outspend them.
We have to give people a reason to go to the polls.
Okay, brother. This is where people don't understand that if they just don't vote, the white man and the powers that be and the good old boys are going to continue on what they're doing. It's insanity to think you keep doing the same thing over and over again and get different results. We already know what's going to happen, what has happened. How much lower can black people think and brag?
We have to come up with a reason for the people to want to get out and vote. We have to give the people a reason. And you know, it's sad to say that, but we have to give them a reason.
Listen, we're on every bad list that can happen. We've got the most poverty per capita in the nation. We have a lifespan that's 20 years less south of Shaw than north of Shaw. We have environmental racism with Darling. We have all these things. How many more reasons do we need to get to the polls? We're dying out here.
You know that. I know that. I'm talking about the people who are sitting on their butt and haven't registered yet to vote and who won't unless some motivation. They need a motivation to. I hate to say that, but
what do you think would motivate them? What do you think would motivate them?
I'm sorry to say it, but
I think there's always going to be some people you're not going to be able to reach. But for people who want a better life for their kids, you know, we can't drag adults and make them do something. If they want a better life, they have to fight for it, just like our ancestors did. They didn't want to stay slaves, and they fought to make a difference.
I agree with that. I agree 100%. But we still need people to get off their butts and go vote.
Well, yeah.
That's
brother.
What we need.
Yeah, we do. No. I agree with you. But you can't hold a gun to their head and make them. All you can do is try to persuade them that, hey, Trump asked them, what have you got to lose? We have everything to lose. Everything.
Yeah, we do. Everything. I agree with
everything.
That. And I don't want to lose everything. I don't.
So leading up to March 3rd, which is the election day, what do you think that should be the marching orders right now when it comes to March 3rd? Do you think we should have more debate? Do you think we should just, you know, hit the houses? Do you think we should go to coffee shops? What do you think we should be doing now?
Let me just say my two cents real quick, Brother Floyd. I think that you should do some pop-ups on the west side, east side, northwest and northeast side, and let the people see you. I think you need to spend a couple of hours in each area of the city, and don't leave nobody out.
Okay. All right. I like pop-ups.
I know
okay.
You do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that is probably.
Well, we're at the end of our show. It was a great dialogue. We got a couple more days before March 3rd. I know that we're going to be out canvassing Saturday as well. I know we have a Black Farmers Convention or something we have to go to. The Freedom School, we're getting ready to start farming pretty soon. And so a lot of good stuff is still happening. We have the presidential election coming up as well. But I want to just thank everybody, especially our campaign manager, Maria. Is she still on the line? Maria, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still on the line.
Yeah, we really want to thank her for her, I don't even know what to call her. She's a Wonder Woman. She's a bionic woman. She's all of the above.
Thank you.
She's just, the campaign wouldn't even be where it is without her leadership. And so I just want to thank her publicly. And as long as the team and you know, even our haters, you know, I even thank them because a preached a sermon, let your haters be your motivators. So we got to have haters to get motivated. And so maybe I shouldn't call them haters, but those who are in opposition of us running for mayor. And this is the thing, you know, if we come short, I feel sorry for the person that's in the seat of mayor, because we're going to be on them like white on rice, making sure holding them accountable for what the hell they're supposed to be doing. And, you know,
that's
we have to get to the standpoint to let people know that they work for us and we don't work for them, and that they answer to us. We don't answer to them. And when we get tired of them lying, it's something called recall. And that's the power we have as a people. And we should never forget the recall, because the recall gets people attention. Trust me, as Cynthia Sterling. And so, you know, we're ready. We're holding the front line. We are a force. The Harris campaign is a force to be reckoned with here in this city. Despite what the Fresno Bee said about us, about, oh, they don't have a lot of volunteers. You don't know what the hell we got, first of all. And it's none of your business what we got. Okay? So, you know, let them have their newspaper like they want it. And we're going to keep plowing the field. If we plow it slow or fast, that's our business. But we here to educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize and take our community to a higher level. We're here for justice, liberation, and freedom and equality for all people in this community. And so just know that when you become a leader, that a leader, a true leader, comes up under persecution all the time. Sometimes you have to walk lonely. Sometimes you have to walk by yourself. But always know that the Creator is right there by your side all the time. You just have to stand up and hold your chin back. Stand up, hold your shoulders back. Look straight ahead. Don't look down. Look straight. Sometimes you have to ball your fists and get on the edge of your seat and let people know and crunch your lip. And sometimes, as I tell Maria, you have to know how to slam your hand on the table to let people know what's going on. And so that's the type of person I am. We love people. We want people to have equality. We want people to be treated fair. And we want a healthy community. That's all we're asking for, is a healthy community where people are treated with dignity and respect. And saying that, I'm going to say good night to everybody. Love you all. Take care. Sister Eileen, I'm looking at your letters right now that you wrote to the different editorial boards. They look very strong. And like I said, we are people that has to be reckoned with. And when you have to reckon with someone, trust me, we're on their mind. Harris campaign has everybody's attention in this city because they know, as Maria says, we ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm. Right.
And with that,
thank you, Brother Al, again.
Thank you, Brother Al.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Al.
And your guest.
All right. We're going to go ahead because we have a little bit more time than I thought. And I'm going to go ahead and play this song here that I learned this song from Dr. Kennedy. And let me see if I can find it here real quick.
Buffalo soldier in the heart of America.